here in Santa Cruz, California, which is where it belongs. Mm-hmm. And as I said, and I will say again, it was not born out of a Santa Cruz Action Network plenary, nor was it the outcome of a Santa Cruz City Council task force.
Well, let me jump to another subject, Bob, because we've been kind of focusing on this upcoming City Council meeting on Tuesday, which will have at its 3 o'clock session the proposed repeal of the sleeping ban. And you yourself played a large role a couple years ago in circulating a petition to put that issue on the ballot. Do you have any thoughts on this upcoming
meeting? I think it's all good. I think the pressure to keep the issue alive has borne fruit. And I think it'll play out very interestingly in the November election. I commend those that bottlenecked the city council into putting this on paper. It, in a sense, serves to deflect it away from them. It certainly is going to make it one of the more contentious issues for the 2000 November election. I will give myself credit, since I'm in the mood for it today, for one other thing.
Go for it.
It was my idea to do a sleeping ban initiative.
Indeed. And
yeah.
I guess you and David Silva, Becky Johnson, Tom Miller, Bernard Klitzner, we could name many people.
One thing about initiatives is that it is a due process that cannot be suppressed easily.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You file papers. It's very legal. You're covered by all the freedom of speech dictums. And it creates a way to organize an issue and focus it and not be easily suppressed. So I think that's one thing. Even an initiative that fails,
mm-hmm.
it brings the issue to the front burner. And I feel that way very, very much about rent control, which, by the way, I am as strongly a supporter, if not more so, of rent control now.
Well, maybe
a
year old ago. Tim Fitzmaurice on board. He seems to be raging about rent control in the Beach Flats, but never seems to get a proposal to the city council. Is that maybe?
Well, you see, here we have to, and I think in the most polite terms possible,
really?
Discuss the characteristic of leadership, of principle, of courage.
Mm-hmm.
You take a position on an issue because it's correct, because you feel strongly about it, not because there's a bandwagon waiting there for you.
Right.
If you are a leader, you step out in the front and you say, look, this is correct. This would serve 53% of the residents in Santa Cruz that do not benefit from appreciation increases, which is what a tenant is. All rent control is, which is extremely modest, is it regulates the degree of residential rent increase while you're a tenant. I happen to agree with Costa Hawkins, which is vacancy decontrol. I think it brings rent control to a realization where you really have to work to contest it. You really have to stretch and sensationalize what it is so far beyond that which is logical that it becomes pure hyperbole. And I personally, and I think many others, are not threatened by the blessed Tri-County Apartment Association, which is a chapter of the California Apartment Association,
mm-hmm.
which of course does not want to see rent control resurge.
It should be mentioned that Costa Hawkins, of course, is a bill which I oppose, by the way, which says if a rental unit is vacated, then they can raise the rents all they want.
It can go back to market rates. You see, here the argument for rent control is actually strengthened because of that. Yes. It, of a sort, weakens the impact of rent control. However, I think it puts a good reality check on it. Property owners do have rights. However, if we're going to look at what modern government does, modern governments protect the rights of those that do not have vested interest. Rent control in Santa Cruz in the year 2000 is extremely logical, should happen, requires the courage and the principle and the leadership to make it happen.
Definitely. Maybe the protest, too. By the way, I have a kind of a highly knowledgeable inside source rumor from Scan and the Green Party on the sleeping ban, which I wanted to break to you first, Bob.
Well, how cool.
This suggests that you've already probably, if you've been listening, or those of you who have been listening, probably know that the sleeping ban repeal proposal is sort of a two-part proposal. First is to put it on the ballot in November. The second is to initiate it immediately after a month once the law is passed until November. Well, there's been a proposal that what council may do is simply vote in the sleeping ban changes and not put it on the ballot in November. This would have the effect of A, avoiding it as an election issue, B, it would give them more flexibility in the future to change it, because once it's passed in November, it's harder for them to change by council vote. In fact, I think it's they got to take it back to an initiative, and it will also forestall the possibility of a possible vote down in the November election, which could happen because those supporting the current sleeping ban have a lot more money, although I think a lot less numbers, than those who oppose it.
I would commend the approach. I think it's by far and beyond the correct approach. If something is to be done, and of course it is, anyone that would read the first three lines of the sleeping ban ordinance would be appalled, in my opinion. The mere fact that it's set down on paper is and should be viewed as criminal.
I agree. It's a criminal conspiracy by vested interests in the community.
It is the height of abuse of the authority of law.
Right.
To construct such a law, once again, read the first three lines of the sleeping ban ordinance.
It criminalizes people from sleeping at night.
Now, we're getting into the cycle for the election, of course, and I expect, Robert, I expect you to endorse the SCAN platformed candidates.
Not necessarily.
And,
you know me, I'm SCAN.
And I will foreshadow that by saying, hail the progressive slate.
Ah, yes. Well, we'll see, Bob. And, of course, we can have you on the air tearing apart that idea, as you no doubt will be, if in fact I do endorse it. I myself have been extremely critical of the behavior of these SCAN-endorsed victorious candidates, Sugar, Fitzmaurice, Crone, actually the entire city council, if you want to, I think they were all SCAN-endorsed at one time or another. Maybe Hernandez or Matthews wasn't in some late deal, but they generally are SCANsters.
What's your opinion about the district elections?
District elections is a question I haven't really studied deeply. I suspect, since it's being pushed by conservative forces, that they're primarily looking for people who are more business oriented. And I'm generally, although with Michael Schmidt's actions in around the sleeping ban being as positive as they have been,
leadership.
What that is. There's no question about it. I'm generally wary of district elections in a small community like Santa Cruz, though in San Francisco I certainly support them. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I got to give you a don't know answer on that one. But that's my answer.
It is one of those issues that resurfaces time and time again. I would guesstimate between $15,000 and $20,000 was spent on district elections, and I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, and I base that upon the advertising that they did and other indications.
Don't know.
All right. I commend them for the effort, Rod Quartararo and everybody else involved with it. As I said, it's one of those things that will percolate up, as will Pedestrian Mall.
I certainly support the pedestrian mall. I mean, frankly, I don't like to take my cues from Charlie Canfield's banker, Rod Quartararo, but,
a very nice guy, Rod Quartararo. I got to meet Rod on the baby ship visit.
Mike Vasquez may be a very nice guy, but he holds views about criminalizing homeless people that would shame a medieval baron, so I don't know.
Well, you have that combination in the human condition, Robert.
Yes, you do.
And Santa Cruz certainly is a wonderful place to be, and retains its political cutting edge. And look forward to the next decade here.
Hey, well, thank you, Bob. You're descending into platitude, so we're going to cut you off.
As well you should.
I'll talk to you later.
You bet. Robert, take care.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Again, 427-3772 is the phone-in number. In fact, we have a phone call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, what's up, man?
Sounds like second call by Mr. Bud.
And what's it up? Is, and so are all the papers.
Well, congratulations. Any reports from the streets?
You mean from the police?
Oh, from anything you've seen that you think is relevant for our...
Oh, I was standing... I was standing right out front of Streetlight Music.
Mm-hmm. And what did you see?
That's where I sold the papers at.
Well, that's good. So keep selling them, and I'm going to move on to the next caller, I guess.
Actually, I sold them all anyway.
All right.
I'm out.
Well, then, you're just going to have to go out and celebrate by maybe getting something to eat.
Of course.
All right.
Then maybe I can meet you after you get off your program so I can get some more.
You're just, nobody can stop you. Maybe we can do that. Call me when the show is over.
Okay.
And I will talk to you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Street Spirit is a newspaper you can sell. We are kind of out of current issues, but we do have back issues if you want to sell those. You can get in touch with us at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Street Spirit also publishes stories about what's going on in the world on the streets outside and among the unhoused community or the houseless community. Again, 423-HUFF is the number to call, and do that. And I will probably be rolling downtown for those who are listening and want to meet with me after this show. And that includes the last caller, so he doesn't have to spend another 35 cents. I guess I'm going to wander into the coffee roasting company, though it is going to be kind of hard to get downtown because of the Arts, Wine, and Cheese Jazzy Woo Festival, which I'm rather skeptical about because, again, I don't like the way the police and the hosts are treating, or I'm told they were treating people on the streets yesterday, and I hope they're improving today. Hi, you're on. Well, I thought you were on free radio. Call again, caller, if you got cut off. Again, number to call is 427-3772, 427-3772. We have been talking about the sleeping ban coming up, and again, I invite you to suggest any improvements you think should be made to the proposed sleeping ban ordinance. That's coming up on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I remind you, if you're coming for that, you might want to stay for support the tenants of the Dolphin and Lee Apartments. That's at 5 o'clock. A couple of other things that are happening on Wednesday, May 24th, that's the day after the city council meeting, a couple days down the road, there's going to be a showing of To Serve and Protect. That's a student documentary on Santa Cruz police brutality, actually in the Santa Cruz County. I'm going to read the blurb here. Santa Cruz is no exception to the rising rates of police brutality in the United States. The student documentary To Serve and Protect examines issues of excessive force using interviews, video footage of brutal arrests, and historical case studies. The film discusses controversial treatment of homeless residents and the shooting incident of Happy John Dine. The film also examines the ineffectual role of the Citizens Police Review Board. It exposes the targeting of activists within our community as well as that of the youth and people of color, an instrumental and moving film in the fight against police brutality. Wednesday, May 24th, 8:15, Oaks 105. Wednesday, May 24th, 8:15, Oaks 105. It looks like a free video showing by the Rascals of To Serve and Protect, and you'll be seeing yours truly on that film if you go. I am interviewed, among other people, about, again, the shooting of Happy John Dine and other violence by the police department against the Santa Cruz community that has as yet never been taken into any judicial forums, that has never been significantly checked by any administrative agencies, that doesn't even get criticized by those in authority in any open way. We are, in fact, in a situation where Police Chief Steve Belcher, in many ways, calls the shots. And we actually probably should turn to the budget hearings to get some more details on how the chief gets his way in the budget hearings. I actually missed the final day of budget hearings because my man, Scott Graham, was called in, and apparently got the impression that the budget hearings had been postponed till next week. And he said that was the clear impression that Mayor Sugar gave, and then suddenly, zip, they resumed at 3:30 that afternoon, and whoopee-doo, the budget whippled on through, although there were no final decisions made on the budget, since that happens at subsequent hearings. We can do that, but I think what we want to do, while we're on the subject, is look into... Well, we talked a bit about SCAN. You heard Bob LaMonica calling in and kind of giving SCAN a slap in the chops, as he often does, and often justly so. Here is a SCAN Housing and Homelessness Committee that had been discussing the Dolphin Demolition Project, as I call it, Dolphin Lee Demolition Project, the City Council's plan to tear down housing for all in order to build it for some, which is, of course, seems to have a fallacy on its face. So the SCAN Housing and Homelessness Committee, and indeed homelessness is going to be involved here, talked about it, and there seem to be strong voices speaking out against it. And yet, at the end of this committee, I had to leave in the middle of it, they voted to do nothing, essentially, or I guess to schedule some kind of a debate somewhere down the line. And the conversation that follows, according to participant Becky Johnson, is why that happened. Let's listen in.
There's a... I've been to a couple meetings down there at the Lee property, and what I'm struck by is how tight-knit a community it is. It's a number of families who are sticking together, and that's what I'm concerned about. Is it's a very unique thing in our society, in our area, where most of the white folks are very into their own little isolated things. And I think it's a very valuable cultural practice that we should be preserving. And it's not just about where the roof is over their head, but they have cooperative child care, and they're a lot of sharing, and there is a big community there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested in doing whatever it takes to preserve that, and I think some of the characteristics of how this project is designed threatens to break that up.
Well, I asked Tom and Fitzmaurice directly.
Tim.
I said, where are you going to put these people?
Sure,
do you have a place for all of them to go? And he said, no,
yeah.
we haven't figured that out yet. We're going to probably have to scatter them. Well, of course they're going to have to scatter them. They can't find one place to put that many families.
So
they're going to break up a whole community, and then we don't even know if they're going to get back.
The irony of it is,
they probably aren't going to get back.
The irony of it is, he keeps talking about preserving the communities in that neighborhood. I mean, I think he's got good intentions here.
I do too.
But he's way unwilling to deal with the issues.
And it's hard because there is a committee that Mercy has put together, and I think they are concerned about this stuff too, and they're trying as hard as they can to deal with these issues. And I think Tim and Keith are trying to deal with that too. It's like, I'm not sure if they're really going to be able to do it. So what I'm a little bit concerned about is that they're a little bit myopic about this is the way to do it, and not really thinking about other
mm-hmm.
options. And that's why I'm wanting to get the land trust established as soon as possible, because I see a role that the land trust could play, either as part of an alternative or as a way to get in the transitional way that the land trust could you take over some other buildings in that area where people could be located in a more together way, and that the Dolphin could be refurbished in a more piecemeal kind of fashion. And that's another area where the land trust could. So I'm just, that's what I would like to see is a little bit, now that we're seeing that the tenants really don't are not into it, and that they're organized and able to articulate really what they want and be involved in the process in a more concrete way, that we do sort of take a step back and see if there are ways that really could give the tenants the power to be in the lead on this.
Can I just quickly say this one, because I got to leave.
Well, I want you to answer.
Okay.
I'm concerned that there's a sense that possibly there's some bent integrity around the process.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people could
cooperate
with that, because I'm getting two different sides. One saying, no, trust this process. We've got to take care of people. And another group that's saying, it's absolutely not true, this process is bent. And CAB has not taken a position. We've not taken a position at all. And you know this is a volatile issue in the community, and I'm having trouble figuring out what's real. So I'm wondering what the take is from those of you that have been more involved, because I've been pulled off and it's being handled by a board member.
Who's handling now? Don
Goddess.
One other.
Don Goddess. So
that's something.
I just want to make one other quick comment that it's going to become an election issue, and that has a lot of concern to scan. And so we need to come up with some way to scan it, so that we're not divided about when we're going to select candidates.
Nobody's come and been able to make a presentation and clear up these issues in the CAB board, which is a microcosm of the community, could say this makes sense to me. People are just sort of waiting for it to shake out.
Next meeting.
However, we're not interested in sure
if we could pick a sense of
You're coming and making a presentation.
Make a sense of the presentation.
What we need is those folks that are advocating that the process is okay. If an organization like SCAN should get clear on this and make some recommendations, where is the disconnect in our community around this issue? I don't get it at this particular point.
Well, so let me answer your question. Closing it as a question.
Yeah, where is this disconnect going to do about
it? Okay, well, one of the concerns is the public participation issue. In other words, how did this whole project get chosen? How much of a public debate was involved? How much were the tenants consulted before they essentially laid it down in stone? Because in a certain sense, it is laid down in stone. It could be stopped, but they're not being given any other alternatives right now. It's a done deal. And the history of that, Becky can tell you after I've left, because you've got some of the history of that. She's videoed some of the meetings, and she has access, she's taped some of the meetings, which the city did not tape or video, but she did, so that might be documentation for CAB or other groups as to what lack of public process actually was involved. I have had lengthy conversations with Ken Fitzmaurice, again, around the simple question of how did you decide to build on destroy existing housing rather than go for parking lots or areas that are without
zone residential.
Vacant land. And his response, he has some vague responses about legal problems with the Seaside Company and providing replacement parking, which was a very kind of revealing statement because these aren't parking lots at the moment. It showed that's what Canfield wants to turn them into. Huh. And there is a concern that this is actually.
But the vacant land is currently zoned residential. If he's using it for parking, he's misusing it. It's not zoned for commercial use.
It's not necessarily used. It's poignant somewhere. And there's stuff that's happening that we don't have on the table.
Right.
So he wants to put in residential and commercial use.
It isn't necessarily all that they have. I mean, we're dealing with people that don't have to put everything on the table.
And finally, there are two other things. One is that another thing which the tenants signed is they don't want Mercy Charities doing this project, if the project is going to be done. Mercy Charities is the sole service provider. Nobody else was involved. Is a question of some concern to some people. Some people don't like Mercy Charities because of how they've treated some of the tenants who've been evicted in other circumstances. And again, that's a whole different issue, which maybe you know more about than I do, Paul. And my just final statement is that this whole business delays real affordable housing. I think it's a bogus project, and I think that what you have to look at is where the another thing is where the deadlines are that will enable the city council to take a step back and then take a real step forward for real affordable housing projects, because that's what needs to be done. This is delaying affordable housing.
But this is okay. Is creating less affordable housing.
Yes, it's destroying
affordable housing. Taking something that currently is affordable for people and moving some of those people out of it forever.
So I think this is a very rich topic. I think we've touched on a lot of the issues involved, and that was a good update from Robert on what's
going
on.
Thanks, Robert.
So let's think about what we as a committee here might want to do with this. Just to start off with a few ideas, we're planning to have a spring meeting, general meeting, and there is another issue that is very contentious that we want to bring up at that meeting, which is the Metro Base.
Oh God!
And
we could
bring up.
We don't have to deal with that in the housing committee.
No, that's that. What's what I'm saying is that that
at the spring meeting is going to be
at our general spring meeting, and currently scheduled for May 31st.
May 31st.
Yeah. At Love Nelson.
That's after the 3-day weekend,
right? Yeah, after the Memorial Day. Right. SCAN General Membership. So that's one thing. There could be I think it's more than just what the steering committee might be able to do.
Right.
So how can we include this in the spring meeting?
That's an idea. If we could recommend that it come up.
Include what? What recommendation is this group going to make to the overall membership?
Not that we make a recommendation to the membership, but that we recommend that it be a topic of discussion at this meeting, and for a possible general membership poll or
We've got to have some ideas in mind ahead of time.
No,
right.
We've reached an impasse in the community. We need to find out where those blocks are. We need to reestablish some confidence in the process. If there hasn't been confidence in the process, we need to establish it now. Whether it was really a bent process or not. If it's a bent process, we have to advocate for a process that we can advocate for. If it's not a bent process, then we have to get clear on what's real about that. There are certain things that we should bring to that to the membership. And I can't do it. Somebody else. I would like somebody else to do it. I would like somebody else to figure out.
We're going to be researching it further.
Right.
I understand that this group voted to oppose Dalton Lee in our last meeting. That was what you said at the city council meeting. That we were all opposed to.
We didn't vote. Everybody at the table last time did not like the present situation.
No, not everybody. You said everybody, but I didn't say that. I didn't say Cab was opposed or Paul was opposed to it.
No, you said nothing about Cab, but you certainly didn't.
I think it's important to not say everybody, because I'm not part of the everybody that opposed it at that point. I don't know. I'm not clear. We haven't taken a position. So that was one thing around this, is that Cab has not taken a position, and so when I sit here, it's not different than Cab sitting here. I can't sit here other than that.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you, Paul, is...
I'm not an individual. I'm on pay. I'm being paid to be here in this assignment. That's very different than what I do in my own time off work.
Okay.
Is that what the parameters of the discussion around this project that we might bring up at our spring meeting are around whether the SCAN membership feels that the process of moving forward on this project has been appropriate. And if not, recommend what does the SCAN membership recommend as a way to move forward from here? Is that
some additional information?
Right.
I mean, those people who are participating.
They haven't written the letters that they said that they're going to do. It's all a lot of verbal stuff. Well, something like they're not going to write guarantees. No, what we're hearing is that they can't write guarantees. They initially said that they were going to guarantee everyone got in. And then when it came and said, okay, here's the guarantee, sign it. And then they just won't even acknowledge that they even got the documentation for, you know, it was drawn up by an attorney.
Is there any legal requirement that they get everyone in?
Get a what?
No.
Is there any legal requirement?
No, there's no legal requirement.
What legal requirement is there on them regarding where people live? Do they have to find housing, scattered to be sure, housing for the people who made this vacation?
They have to pay 3 months relocation.
Right. They don't have to find them
for a period of time.
They just give them money.
Right.
They're usually caps, like $5,200 caps is usual.
I have a point of order, too. The email that I received about this meeting was that the purpose, and we didn't get this on the agenda, so I'm confused, the affordable housing and homelessness committee has a need for a broad housing advocacy coalition. Is this meeting that we're holding right now the SCAN housing committee meeting, or is it the homeless and affordable housing coalition? Should we have on our agenda a movement to form a coalition?
We have to.
Yeah,
that was our main
it's on the agenda. It is on the agenda.
Okay.
That's on
sorry about that. All right, thank you.
What we're talking about
should come first.
No,
but
what
I was confused.
What we're talking about is something that we pushed forward.
And in that case, a lot of ground shifts because we're not talking about getting SCAN to do something unless we ask SCAN as a part of the coalition to do something. It'll be a
in relation to the coalition is that is an idea of this committee to form the coalition. The coalition has not been formed yet. So.
I understand.
Okay. So, I guess going on the idea of how we should bring up whether or not we should bring up this issue at the spring scan meeting.
So
I think that's the question. Is number one, should we bring this up, and then separate that, separate out. If we do want to bring it up, then how?
How? That's
okay.
The
I'd like to see it brought up. Folks who are participating and have positions on both sides of this,
mm-hmm.
and maybe sponsor. I mean, how long is our meeting going to be?
Is it
couple
a
hours?
Day?
That's
a
couple
it.
Hours.
Just two
only
hours.
2 hour
yeah.
meeting.
Yeah. Right.
Because I mean, we really need a debate and a vote.
And that's for.
Okay.
Don't you think? I mean, we got to get this out of our...
Right.
Because we're constantly being badgered. I'm feeling
right.
paralyzed.
Right.
In my and I think Scan can be the one that at least kicks it loose. It may be that this is a lost cause. It may be that there just simply isn't going to... Or maybe people want to use the fact that the law simply will not allow for relocation to say, well, then stop. Don't move these people. Mm-hmm. That's the reason not to. 50% of these people will not be able... be eligible to return, therefore it's a dead project. I mean, or the project's going to move ahead. It's happening. There's no way to stop it. Politically, it is an expedient for us to... I'd like to hear it debated. And then
so you're proposing a separate meeting.
I think so. Maybe. No, I wasn't, but now that you mention it.
I agree. It's a larger subject than we could take care of in say 20 minutes at a meeting.
We certainly have concerns. If you look at the letter that you wrote in
July
of '99, you know it says the need for additional housing. We're talking about destroying 63 units to build 48. That's not additional. Most simple math. Firm securing the broad participation and support of residents before going ahead. Well, the residents are not really lining up. The people that are on the relocation committee are the 5 hand-picked people that the city council got that are in favor of the project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are the residents that they picked, and there are residents that are against the project that were not picked.
Okay, so can we go? Go with that as a recommendation to the steering committee. that's something that we as a committee could just do.
I'd like to know if it's real that 50% will not qualify. That's really what we're looking at. Because from where I come from, I'm trying to prevent homelessness.
Right.
I'm not a housing person. Mm-hmm. I'm being dragged into it because of the crisis.
I don't know how you're going to get that because the Lee tenants.
Well, you just said it. You made statements.
Yeah.
And you're putting them out, and I'm making
because
decisions. I'm writing them down. I'm talking about
they
it.
Did their own internal assessment. Now, they have not provided any information to Mercy Charities from the Lee apartments. Not who lives there, not how many units, stuff
what
like that.
What I would
that.
Need is
but
to
what
get
they
a
have
sense
said,
of what's real about your fear.
When they did their own internal assessment, looking at their own people and comparing it to what the guidelines Mercy Charities on who would be eligible and who would be not, they determined that over half of the Lee apartments. Yeah.
What I'm asking for is something more.
Uh-huh. So
I want it replicated. I don't want to just hear it from you.
How about at the tenants' meeting Friday night?
Yeah, you can
Why
get that from tenants'
be
meeting
some
Friday
kind
night.
Of documentation by somebody asking these people.
Well, that's an interesting question because we need to know what the tool will be that is used by Mercy to make the determination as to whether or not somebody would be eligible. That's the tool that would have to be used ultimately. Now, the tenants probably guess that given a credit check and given unlawful detainer and given serious felonies, that puts me out. And if you go around the room, half of the people would say, yeah, puts me out too, and then you've got your straw poll. That's enough
so
to say there's something that we should really look at. This.
It seems to me that what we're advocating right now is that Scan, I think, would be providing a pretty valuable service to the community to have put a forum together that brings together all the sides gets out all the information from people. Because it doesn't seem like the city's going to do that.
That sure is.
And is there a source that can give them, could Elizabeth give a definitive answer to these questions?
Right.
Yeah, we could get Elizabeth there. We could get...
She doesn't know. She
Elizabeth
says,
Vogel?
She says she doesn't know what ultimately will come down around this.
That's
she
true.
Says there's
and
no
Elizabeth
guarantee.
Vogel is the person for Mercy Charity.
There's no guarantee, she says.
And I know that there is a tool, an assessment tool, that people will be asked to fill out to determine their eligibility for moving into the new place.
So how can you get access to that?
That isn't an ambiguous thing. They have a process.
Of course it is. That's why I said, why can't that happen Friday night at the Cummings meeting with the Lee Apartments?
If I was God, I would order
Elizabeth
Vogel to bring
that? Who's going to be running that? Who's going to be running that meeting?
Well,
is this the Lee
Apartments?
Yeah, the Lee Apartments.
Nana Ruiz will be running that meeting.
Is
there any
items, or are there mitigating factors? So say somebody doesn't need the credit check, what are their loan guarantee funds that can be put up so that even if they don't need the credit check, they can make it back in. So maybe there are ways around it.
But
this might not be the end of the story.
Maybe that one issue,
but
what
it's
about
a preliminary
another
too.
To get a preliminary sense of, you know, just first cut on it, regardless of options. Is there any way that we can reach the leadership of this meeting at Lee Grant at 7 o'clock? I guess it's Friday. Is that the one you're talking about? To ask them if they can do a swap poll of people who can meet these checks.
And you've been listening to a SCAN Housing and Homelessness Committee meeting, which I would love for us to be able to finish, but we are running out of time, and the ultimate decision of that committee was to do nothing or to look for some kind of forum somewhere down the road. I want to remind you, this meeting was in very early May. The SCAN general membership meeting is on May 31st. They had plenty of time to put this on that agenda. It is not on this agenda. SCAN craps out again. We have an incoming phone call.
Becky Johnson calling in.
Hey, Becky, we're going to have to ask you shortly to get off the line because David Silva is trying to call in with an update from the Holy Cross Church on the sleeping ban, but quickly, what's the story?
I'm just a little surprised after all that discussion, since most of the people at the SCAN Housing and Homelessness subcommittee there really had serious concerns about going forward the project and wanted those concerns addressed. Paul Brindell sort of went into this, gee, I don't know, and CAB doesn't know, and let's hold back, and let's
wait. He also sounded like he was throwing doubt on the verifiability of your information. He rejected the idea Charlotte Spitzer had of coming to the meeting of the tenants on Friday night. Indeed, Paul Brindell has never shown up at any of those meetings.
And we indeed did get that document I had only been told about earlier. We actually got copies of it signed by all 16 heads of household at the Lee Apartments opposing the project as it's currently been put forth.
Paul's been very good on the sleeping ban. I liked his letter challenging Lee Kornstrom, which went out on the internet recently. But on this project, I'm afraid he's a batting zero as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, I'm going to look forward to those updates from David Silva.
All right, I will hang up and hopefully you can call in.
And remember, everybody come down, 3 o'clock Tuesday, City Council, on the 23rd.
Right on.
Thanks.
And lines are open for David to call in. In fact, if he doesn't call here, I'm going to call him because he's been out there at, I guess, Holy Cross, where he has a Sunday mass and has been, again, working to do a fast, which I think now has been suspended because at last this item, sleeping ban repeal or partial sleeping ban repeal, is on the agenda. And here we have an incoming call.
Hey,
David.
Silva.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that signature gathering has bumped up again real large today with our church day.
Is this for the initiative?
For the original initiative, yeah. Not the city council version, but the version that included the community commercial zones.
And how long do you have? How many more?
We have, legally we have till July 13th, but in order to be on the November ballot, we have till June 2nd.
I see.
I'm asking, just want to put the call out there. To anybody that has petitions, get them in to me, would you? You know, no one showed up at our meeting yesterday at 10 at Mission Plaza. Every Saturday at 10 at Mission Plaza, turn in petitions or pick up petitions or just call me at home.
You want to leave your number
429-5284. But Holy Cross was a huge success, thanks to Le Boulanger, which gave us few, four boxes of pastries and several canisters of coffee.
Now, do you think they're going to be speaking at the meeting on Tuesday when the issue comes up, Dave?
You know, we actually were able to, Mel Nunes was great, and, you know, Sherry Connival was there, and, you know, and there was a nun that was helping us. Really, we were able to take some really, you might call them, progressive in all matters except this matter, or church people,
uh-huh.
and turn them around and actually get them to sign the petition to let the council know that it's time they need to do something. And so, you know, we weren't pushing decriminalization of sleep. We were saying that's a fait accompli. Mm-hmm. We were pushing safe zones, and we got a lot of people that normally wouldn't sign to sign. It was really, really encouraging. But I am so exhausted, Robert.
I should let you go, but let me just, yeah. because you didn't hear the earlier part of the
show.
We did suggest some strengthening of the city council's proposal. I wanted to run a few of them by you.
Yeah.
If you have time.
There's probably some amendments that, you know.
Shall I run it by you?
Sure, run it by me.
A couple possibilities was to restore the residential setback to from 300 to 75 feet to restore the corridors. And
yeah,
the
I had been thinking from 300 to 150, so yeah.
Another would be a council commitment to quickly set up a 24-hour campground and car park.
That is, I think, something that needs to come up on the 24th, but yeah.
That's the next day when the city council is actually going to be
issues task force. Part of the agreement was that, you know, I would agree to give up the community commercial corridor on this agreement if, in fact, they were going to do something substantial, you know, the next day regarding
So we can find
that.
Out because there'll be another council session before this becomes law.
Right.
Then there's ticketing only after warning, a 15-minute grace period, and explicit directions to the sleeping permitted zones. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's something the chief of police just really did not want in there, and Catherine did not want in there because the chief physician went in there, so I gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave up the warning section altogether because the city attorney says that the judges, when they find a warning section part of an ordinance, they say that becomes discriminatory enforcement.
On some occasions, although we currently have a warning section for the sitting ban, and they've had no problem with it.
Yeah, actually, there was some problem with it, according to the city attorney.
Well, there was a problem in 1994, but now there's a new warning section for which there is no problem.
Okay.
So. Finally, how about full amnesty for past sleeping and camping tickets?
I think that would be in good faith. That would show some good faith that they're actually moving on this.
City
I don't know about sleeping and camping. With this particular, on Tuesday and Wednesday are two different days. To me, Tuesday is sleeping day and Wednesday is camping day.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I appreciate your calling.
Yeah.
Finally, I guess.
All these other people that are at other churches, call me and let me know how successful your church was today, because we just really kicked ass at Holy Cross.
Give a call to David Silva at his, shall I give your phone number? 429-5284.
Yeah, because I want to know how well we did. We sold tickets today, too, finally. We're starting to sell tickets. We got the tickets out there.
You're talking about the June 3rd Naked Ape, Dillagaff, Worm concert at the Civic Auditorium.
It looks like we're getting Ralph Nader. And get your tickets at the Poet and Patriot.
And is there a low-income deal for some?
If someone has problems with income, call the Green Party, and we can arrange some of our advance tickets to be discounted in some way. We'll try to make up the difference.
Green Party number is?
425-4499.
425-4499.
Especially disabled. We're offering WAM members and so forth, disabled community. But the comp tickets are just about all gone.
Okie dokie.
But, you know, things are starting to look good. We have ads starting next week. I think the ad campaign will really pick up the ticket sales.
Finally, there was a rumor that was going through the rounds that the city council might want to simply pass this as an ordinance, not put it on the ballot so as to avoid, A, getting people to come to it as a controversial issue. They don't like the idea of people going to the same election where the district elections are coming up.
Yeah.
B, it wouldn't freeze it in place so they could change it by a 4-3 vote. And C, they're worried that what if they lose the election?
Yeah.
So is this? What do you think of this rumor?
Well, I think there's a D.
Yes.
And the D is to divide the question. I think the part on the human rights part of it, you know, sleeping is not camping, all the way down to A through C of it. You've seen the new ordinance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have that be just completely done with, because that's a human rights issue. And then the issue of the safe sleeping zones, maybe you could put that to the public.
Yes.
I say divide the question.
Okay.
Okay, signing off, exhausted.
All right, get some rest now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was David Silva, one of the few allowed into the august inner chambers of the city council's councils, apparently with some positive effect. He's moving forward, and we hopefully will all move forward, because on Tuesday, 3 o'clock, sleeping ban repeal for the first time in 22 years comes up to city council. So it's time to make a showing there. If you can't make a showing, call city council at 423-5017. That's a 24-hour number. You can call them today and tell them what's cooking or what should be cooking. And we will hopefully be pursuing a lot of these topics down the road in our next show, which will be returning on Thursday from 6 to 8 in the evening. In between times, you can always reach us at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. We're going to go into our exit music in order to give the next talk show hosts, a Little Red Hen, opportunity to get in a minute early. Another example of the incredible generosity of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Thanks for being with us.
Marching down the street, rolling of the drums and the tramping of the feet. The general salute and the mothers waving we. Here comes the big parade, don't be afraid. Price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war. They all march together, everybody looks the same. So there's no one you can blame, don't be ashamed. Light the flame, one more parade. Listen for the sound and listen for the noise. Listen for the thunder of the marching boys. A few years ago, their guns were only toys. Here comes the big parade, don't be afraid. Price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war. So willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same. There's no one you can blame, don't be ashamed. Light the flame, one more parade. Medals on their coats and guns in their hands, trained to kill as they're trained to stand. 10,000 ears need only one command. Here comes the big parade, don't be afraid. Price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war. So willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same. There's no one you can blame. Don't be ashamed, light the flame, one more parade. Cold hard stares on faces so proud, kisses from the girls and cheers from the crowd. And the widows from the last war crying to their shrouds. Here comes the big parade, don't be afraid. Price is paid, don't be ashamed. Light the flame, one more parade.